Welcome to the Modern Farming Podcast, where we bring you insights directly from the field about agriculture, food, and the amazing environment we live in. Hey, listen, today we are extremely excited to bring you the first of a three-part series we put together called You Are What You Eat. Now, we really wanted to dig deeper into a few of the conversations we've had already, but we also want to give you, the farmer and the consumer, insight into how nutrients on the farm is constantly changing and how it affects every bite we take. As always, I'm flanked by Brad Turner. Brad, thanks for always being on with us. When we first talked about this episode and this three-part series, and we've got a wonderful guest coming in a few weeks here, what were some of the things that really jumped out at you when we start to talk about nutrients and nutrients on the farm?
Yeah, well, you and I, as agronomists, when we're talking to growers and talking about what we're actually doing, the understanding we have is evolving in understanding nutrition. It's not just these 16 or 17 nutrients or minerals that are needed by plants. There's many more in the soil, and most of them are probably needed. And then there's this balance, you know, between different nutrients, and we're involved in that. And then what the form it's in, and the time of the year, what form of nitrogen in the spring, in the summer. Oh, the biggest one we're starting to learn is just carbon in biology, the importance of having something for the biology to eat, and then that biology being there, whether it's natural or induced or whatever, to make all that happen. But when you came up with the topic, what struck me was something I've heard years ago was you're not just what you eat, you are what your food eats. And that's not just the livestock that eats the grain and the forage and how healthy that is for them that goes into our bodies. It's the health of those animals. But then the plants are the same thing. There's a process called the rhizophagy process where plants aren't just sucking in minerals. They actually take in microbes from the soil. They give them a root exudate, signal what they need. The microbe actually goes in the root tip, and the plant processes, spits it out, and signals it to bring in another nutrient. So all this science is just a big deal. And what that does is get all these vitamins that we need in our bodies in our food. It's not just six or eight, or it's not just zinc and manganese that's on the vitamin bottles. It's cobalt, molybdenum, and nickel, and iodine. All these are essential nutrients that our body needs that's not in our food like it used to be. Our food's just a shadow of nutrient density that it was when you and I were kids. So it's interesting, it's fascinating, and that's the world you and I are in.
Yeah, no. So you brought up a couple of really interesting points. First off, the rhizophagy process, we're going to need to dig into that. Maybe we'll get a chance here today, but it's really one of the most interesting findings here in the last, I don't know, 5 or 6 years, maybe. Dr. White, I forget what university he's with, but if Rutgers, you listen to him. Yeah, Rutgers. Okay, yeah. So if you listen to him and how him and his team have kind of identified this whole process, it's amazing. It really dials into what's actually happening in the soil for eons, for 250 years in this country. One, it's not our fault. We didn't understand that process.
Right.
And, you know, it's a real challenge for you and I to have a conversation on the farm with growers. Because you run that fine line of telling a grower, like, hey, we've been doing it wrong, right? And nobody wants to be told that they're doing it wrong, right? So one of the challenges we have is how do we explain that this is a process? The rhizophagy process is a process that we know now happens at the root, and it's exchanging microbes, and that exchanging of microbes within the root are how that plant gets at least a portion of its nutrients. That whole process, I think listeners would be fascinated to hear, and maybe we have a chance here to dig in. But let me go back to one other thing you just talked about, which was, you know, the evolution that we now see. Carbon is such a buzzword, And you hear it everywhere. You hear it with mainstream big ag companies. Mainstream media talks about it. A lot of quote unquote environmentalists, you know, the tree huggers of the world, we're always talking about carbon, right? So if you could shed a little bit of light on your conversation on the farm about carbon, what do growers know? What do they need to know? And maybe what does the average consumer need to know about carbon and what you're trying to do with carbon and nutrients on the farm?
Yeah, and carbon it's just a broad word. You know, everything that's not metal or mineral is carbon, but not everything that's carbon is food for soil biology. So even when we do a compost application, a lot of that's not available now. And it's a good thing, but you need microbes have to eat. They have to eat to be able to help your plant, and they eat first. And if they're not satisfied, they don't have enough, they're not going to exert the energy to help the plant. So in our soils, especially in Florida that are so sandy, and we're not putting carbon back. We're not either growing it or adding it. We're losing that biological process. Plants don't have to have it to live, but they have to have it to thrive and be super productive and put out healthy crops. And it's just a necessity that we've kind of got away from understanding over the last, you know, I was a farmer my whole life, 50 years, and nobody's done it wrong. Now we understand how it works. Not fully, we never will. But we know more. We learn more every day. It's just a continuing learning process.
Yeah. You know, the discussion about carbon on the farm now is daily for me as well. And I think it's great that we're having this conversation about carbon on the farm, because I always tell growers, you know, carbon is like fuel for the car, right? Until we have enough carbon, enough organic matter, we can't properly cycle nutrients. And if we can't properly cycle nutrients in the soil, we're stuck in this constant application process of NP and K and whatever else we know we need. But we can never get off that hamster wheel of just applying massive amounts of nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium because a soil test says so. We can't get off of that because, as you know, most of those, and there's some really good products out there that have a lower salt content. But the way I was explained to me very well from a friend of mine who happens to be an engineer, he actually was the creator of this tree diaper. If you've ever seen those, they're really amazing little pieces of technology. They keep your tree watered, especially there in the first couple of years. But the way he explained it to me was, you know, and what he told me is, what is salt known for? Right? What did we use salt the very beginning of times here in the United States as people made their journey across a giant ocean? What did they do with their food? Well, they salted their food. Why did they do that? And the reason why is because that salt kills all the bacteria and all the fungi, right? They were basically curing their meat for that long journey across the ocean. Well, if you take 3-4 tons of fertilizer that has a very high salt index, and you put that on your soil, you're doing the same thing to your soil. You're killing all the bacteria and fungi. And that bacteria and fungi is part of that nutrient cycling that could happen somewhat naturally in the soil that has been depleted over time. So basically, we've sterilized our soil with these high salt fertilizers for 250 years, and now we're trying to reverse that process. The challenge for guys like you and I is today a grower has a problem, right? They call you or me up and call up an ag retailer and say, hey, I've got XYZ weed. I got XYZ disease. What do you have, right? And 100% of the time, we can recommend a solution. And that solution could be relatively immediate. I'm talking 3 days. If you have a weed, we could spray something and 24 hours from now, we could see a change. And 7 days from now, that thing's gone. As a disease comes in, we can put out a fungicide or some sort of curative product that in 7 to 10 days, that disease is suppressed, right? And it's that Amazon sort of mentality, right? We have instant solution, instant gratification. The challenge with what we do in soil health is it's not immediate, is it? It doesn't happen in 7 to 10 days.
Right. Yeah. And you know, we're treating symptoms and not working on the problem. And that's everybody will agree that the healthier a plant is, the more resistant it is to pest and disease. So that's really what all this is about. But like you said, it doesn't happen overnight. You can get immediate responses from a lot of things, even the biological world, but to start fixing the problem and fixing soil takes years. Again, that's why, you know, when you're talking about the fertilizer and the leaching, you know, it takes the carbon and biology to absorb that and retain it and keep it from, that's why I love cover crops. You know, then we're sending down roots that can catch, that are deeper than our cash crops, that can catch it and bring it back up and recycle it. But it's all related to carbon and biology.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I'm glad you brought that part. Brad lives right near the ocean. I'm a few miles from it. Where we live here in Florida, we're always talking about, or thinking about at least, runoff. And I know it's a challenge in the Midwest, the upper Midwest, the Ohio River Valley. This has been challenged for the last decade. How do we capture this nutrients as it's coming off the farm? One of the best ways to me is increase organic matter, right? Mm-hmm. Increase your biological activity. Most of the growers who are listening to us today are probably saying to themselves, yeah, we do that, Nick. We do that, Brad. We are thinking about that. We are doing it. And like I said, I think everybody is in the same boat here. We're all trying to do better. We're all trying to use the newest technology to mitigate runoff, to mitigate leaching, and really to find the best way. And hey, I think consumers need to know this, that when we talk about farms and farmers and golf courses, if the people who produce our food, okay, we'll leave golf courses and residents out of it, but if the people who produce our food didn't care about runoff and didn't care about leaching and didn't care about high salt fertilizers, Brad and I probably wouldn't be sitting here talking to you on a podcast. We'd probably be sitting on our boat in the middle of the Florida Keys drinking a Mai Tai at 7:30 in the morning. Right? Because we'd be extremely wealthy. The reality is most farmers, most growers talk to Brad and I down to the ounce, right? They know what it costs down to the ounce or down to the pound of every input they put on the farm. So it's not like, you know, they're just writing Brad and I $1 million checks for their fertilizer. And it's like, oh, just go get whatever I need. No. We have to sell that down to the ounce. By the acre. Now, I would challenge any consumer to go through your budget and try to break things down to the ounce, right? We all talk about how expensive groceries are, but do you know what it costs you for an ounce of milk? Do you know what it costs you for 1 gram of cereal? Probably not. And that's because you're not thinking about your budget the way that a farmer does. So I just want to make sure everybody recognizes that growers are definitely part of the solution. And they are working very hard to change some of those things that we now know. Rhizophagy is one of them. And that's a process that I think a lot of growers still don't know. The carbon cycle and adding microbes and biology, that is something that is still relatively new, but we have a lot of good going for us. And I definitely think we're going to get there. Hey, Brad, I know this is a really long conversation. We need another 45 minutes and I think we're going to get it. So let's jump off here. We'll do a longer version here for everybody shortly. I want to thank everybody for being part of us. If you haven't yet, please go to thegreengenefoundation.org, click on the podcast button and sign up for our newsletter there. You'll be the first to know when a new episode is released. So thanks everybody. Have a wonderful week. Thanks, Brad. We'll talk soon.
Take care.